You are listening to A Good Miss, a golf podcast featuring golf addict Nick Christensen and the Yes Man, Charlie Leisler. Now, A Good Miss.
Hey, what's up?
How's it going, man?
Good, how are you?
Good. Sorry, I forgot about time zones, so it's probably a little early there for you.
Oh, it's all good. I'm up anyways.
I figured. Golfers, early risers.
Yeah.
So this is Charlie. I'm Nick. Thanks for hopping on.
What's going on, Trevor?
Yeah, having me. Thanks for having me.
I got your name from old Terry Cooker.
Yeah, Terry.
He reaches out to me every day with new people and mentioned the Minnow Tour, which is pretty cool. You had told me something that Iowa has the most 9-hole courses in the country.
Yeah, they have, and it's like 50 more than the next day. So
it's like really, it's like what, 300 and something I read.
So from my research, which is just a quick little Google search, but there's 254 9-hole courses in Iowa, and that's about 50 more than the next state, which is Texas, which
is obviously great.
So it's just a unique scene in Iowa, and I feel like it just people need to know about it. So
they do, and I think I texted you a little bit. We play these little 9-hole men's opens all over the, you know, Northwest Iowa, and good golfers show up for those.
Yeah.
Good competition.
Yeah. I haven't played in them in a while, not since I was probably in college, but I used to play in those too growing up in the summer times. And like, I played this one in Radcliffe, and there were so many like Iowa AM champions, Iowa Masters champions showing up to play this little course. And it's just a super easy track, but it's so much fun. And
fun to just go down there and shoot like 15 under on 18 holes, 27 holes.
Fun to make birdies. So, I mean,
yeah, with the big Calcuttas at the end.
Yeah, they have like the 9-hole, you know, championship round or whatever. And, you know, it's good. It's good pressure golf too, because if you're a competitive player, like you're in contention to win, it doesn't matter where it is.
Sure.
You know, knowing that, hey, I got a birdie this hole if I want to win this tournament, and then see if you can go. It's a great test, so it doesn't really matter. And you know, we want to make kind of a tour out of it so people can discover all these, you know, hidden gems all over the state. You know, I know up in Northwest Iowa, you guys have a lot of really good 9-holers. I haven't played any of them up there, but you know, we're hoping to get there maybe next year. So,
well, and I know like over in like Paulina or Primgar used to have the best 9-hole course in Iowa for a number of years. I've never gotten down there and played, but it was built by like a real course architect. It's a real golf course.
It's a nice course. There's you know, there's trouble areas. There's some water that runs through it. I played it a few times. It's a pretty solid little track for sure.
Yeah,
over in O'Brien County.
Yeah, there's just so many of those scattered everywhere, all over. And you know, there's the game is more popular than it's ever been, and I feel like we can kind of spread it around all these rural communities, and you know, just kind of show people you can drive 20 minutes, play 9 holes for 30 bucks instead of pay $100 on the weekend to play a 5.5-hour round. It's just ridiculous. And
looking at the schedule. First of all, tell us, how'd you come up with the idea? Was it just you, or was it some buddies drinking and saying, hey, we should do like a 2-man tour?
Yeah. So kind of both. So there's 4 of us putting the tour together. But we started talking about it probably last year, and then kind of started talking seriously over the winter about it. We're like, wow, we should actually do this. And, you know, there's 4 of us. We all went to high school together at South Hamilton and Jewel. Won a state championship in golf. So we love golf, played golf together in high school, still play golf all the time in the summers. And, you know, we just kind of started brainstorming ideas. You know, we're at one of our buddies' wedding, obviously drinking and stuff. And we're like, let's just give it a shot. Why not? Like, they were all saying, well, if I was a competitive player, why wouldn't I play in these?
Right.
So we're trying to make it worth it. I know the entry fee of $300 is a lot more than for a 2-person team. It's more than most tournaments, but I feel like the
payouts are stupid.
So,
yeah, it's good payouts. I mean, you get to some of these other ones, they don't pay near that amount of money. Even in, you know, some of those little men's opens, I don't see guys, you know, 2 guys winning $1,000, you know, it's a pretty sweet deal.
yeah, so we're hoping people sign up, and we're just trying to get the word out. But, you know, the biggest thing, the biggest struggle has just been kind of building the schedule and getting the registration going online. Courses aren't open in the wintertime, so we kind of had to wait.
Sure.
Wait just to get a hold of people. And, you know, this is kind of a new idea, so a lot of people, you know.
Especially those 9-hole munis, you know, they're shut down for the winter.
Yeah, so now that we have that taken care of, we can kind of move forward. So we're excited about it, and, you know, hopefully people sign up.
And you got about 6 events on the tour, on the schedule right now?
Yeah, we got 5 events. We tried to space them out, you know, different parts of the state, all kind of centered around the central part, which is where, you know, the other 3 guys live in the Des Moines area. So we tried to make it within, We tried to make it within kind of a couple hours from Des Moines, but we also wanted to reach, you know, different parts of the state to try and get the word out this first year. But this first year is just kind of going to be more of a test run, I suppose, see if people actually show.
So, and is it all the same formats? Is it like a
scramble? No, so yeah, scramble. We have 2 scrambles, 2 best balls, and then a shamble. So we tried to switch it up between the different formats, but yeah, we'll see. I feel like, you know, if I was an amateur player in Iowa, I would, and I love playing tournament golf, I would jump at the opportunity to play in these. I mean, even if I was a high school or college kid, I would want to play in these because it's going to be good competition. You know, we're not going to have flights. I mean, that's something. So Braxton Reeser is another guy in our group helping put this on. And he was saying, like, well, if you make a bogey, you might as well just keep playing bad and hope to win the second or third flight instead of like grinding out and trying and keep trying the rest of the day. So, and I kind of have a lot of experience with tournament golf too. So I think I know about how, you know, even if you don't have your best stuff, you can still grind it out and make money. So I feel like that's a good aspect of competitive golf, always trying to do your best instead of just hoping.
So how many spots do you pay?
15.
So we'll pay on the top. So this is based on a full field. So we're going to max out our events at 36 teams, and we'll pay out the top 40%. So that's top 15 teams out of 36, which is pretty good. I kind of got that idea from just the mini tours I've been playing on the past few years. That's kind of what they do, 40%. And that allows us to, you know, pay a little deeper, you know. And, you know, hopefully, I mean, there's going to be guys who sign up that know that, you know, maybe they can't win, but they can get top 15. That's fun too. So, yeah.
No, that's cool. Cause I was looking at this. Well, I'm going to drive to Des Moines. I need to find a partner that can make sure we get at least some of our money back. Is there any, like, what's the word I'm looking for? Limitations to who can play?
Just amateurs, any amateur. So we don't want any pros playing. And that's, yeah, so any amateurs. We got a question about like high schoolers. And we reached out to the Iowa High School Athletic Association, and we just can't pay them cash. So we're probably going to just pay them in gift cards or something, just kind of get around that. But,
Well, that was a big hurdle last year, because there's a big in Mallard, Iowa, there's a big men's open. And we've got a couple high schoolers on our team that want to play, but they're like, oh, you can't play because you can't do the Calcutta. And I coach. I'm like, yes, he can. I just don't think he can accept any money.
Right.
And, you know, and like the Northwest Amateur up here, high schoolers play it all the time, and they, you know, they're winning their flights, but they get shop credit.
Right.
So that's, well, now I got a firm answer on that for these farmers next year on the rules.
Yeah. We'd love to have high school play, and I think it'd be really good for them. You know, this is, we want to make this so these are legitimate competitive events. I know we're going to small towns, but like, we want to bring real tournaments to these places and get people from all over the state coming and playing in these. And I feel like that would just help the towns as a whole, you know, get people to come to these towns. Maybe they'll see a new restaurant that opens on Main Street and they'll stop in and eat. Like, we want to help these communities. That's why we're doing this. So
Well, and anything to keep these, small golf courses alive too, because it's definitely not cheap to keep those things up every year. So I think it's a great idea. Any support that is offered to some of these small courses is definitely a positive thing. So it's awesome you guys are doing this.
Yeah, yeah.
And it's like, it's some of these courses, it's their annual event. Like Pocahontas has a big one, and everybody that's played Pocahontas for 50 years comes back to play in it. And like, you're familiar with JD Anderson. He was on a couple weeks ago. He goes back and plays every year. There's a Cherokee match play that's really, really good. A lot of big names, big amateur names come back and play that one if it's not conflicting with the IOAM.
Well, yeah. it's just like word of mouth too. I mean, you know, you got one in Radcliffe, I see, and it's like, you know, you tell your friends, hey, I played this place in Radcliffe. You guys got to go check it out. You know what I mean? Yep. Like, it's really, really, really awesome. Yeah.
Yeah. I just feel like there's such a community of golfers here, and that's kind of what we're hoping for. People just, you know, get a taste of it and they're like, hey, like you should go play this. And it just kind of snowballs, but that's what we're hoping for. And we don't want to take any away from existing events. Like, we want to put those events too. So maybe they'll, you know, come play a minnow tour event, and then they'll realize maybe they'll like the course and they'll hear about the open event. So they'll go back and play their own ball. And
sure,
you know, we want to help them promote all the stuff that they have going on at their courses too. So, and we tried to
go around. Ahead. Sorry.
We wanted to schedule it kind of around IGA events too. Mm-hmm. We wanted to weekend so people don't have to take work off. Like, we don't want to conflict with anything else that's going on. We don't want to take away from any other tournaments going on around. So, just wanted to make that clear.
Yeah. It's kind of funny that it's called the Minnow Tour. And when JD was on, he mentioned, I used to go around and play those little minnows too. And I'd never heard that term in my life. I've been playing golf 30 years, never heard that. And then I heard it twice in 4 weeks.
Yeah.
Is that just the industry name for little mini tour events?
I don't know. I mean, just kind of, so like JD, that crowd, I think they call them minnow events. That's where I got the name from.
Oh, okay.
I think just they call them that. It's a good name because they're small tournaments, small towns, whatever. Yeah. But I didn't come up with that name. So
gotcha. So JD, we'll credit JD and his voice.
Yeah, we'll credit that guys. So,
well, and I think these little tournaments are cool too, because it's like, so there's the IGA events that you might be a little intimidated to go play if you're an amateur golfer, and if you don't want to dip your toes in that quite yet for this, they're a little more serious, let's be real, than going to like your Britas or your little nine hole dink courses. It's like, I'm going to go play in these little men's opens, these little amateur events, and then if I do well, see who comes and plays back, and then go sign up for some Iowa golf, you know, Iowa amateur event.
Yeah.
Which is, I'm kind of getting away from the Iowa amateur events because they're just too hard.
Yeah. Yeah. Man, the golf scene, you know, it's really good. It's really underrated. I feel like I've been around. I mean, obviously I don't live there full time anymore, but I mean, the Iowa Golf Association is unbelievable. There's so many good players at every age level. I mean, there's good juniors, not high school. There's good college kids. There's good mid-ams. There's good senior players. I mean, it's such a cool mix of people. You have, you know, some really good players in these small towns, like you said, that maybe can't take 4 days off during the middle of the week to play the IOAM, but they could, I mean, they're just as good and they can contend. And this is somewhere where maybe the Minnow Tour, they can compete and on the weekends and still get those competitive juices flowing for some cash.
Would you open it up to solo stroke play events?
We've thought about that. I think for the first year, we just wanted to do team events just because we thought people would like that. You know, I think it's something different than the regular open events that these courses have. Maybe just put a little different spin on it, but maybe in the future, when we can, you know, we have people that we know are going to sign up, we can maybe have different formats, maybe different size of teams, maybe play your own ball, maybe three-man tournaments, whatever. Yeah. But we also want to kind of make it a season-long tour. So we're trying to come up with ideas for like the leading money winner at the end of the year, maybe he'll get something, or
that's cool.
Maybe some discounts, maybe work with some other businesses, golf companies, and maybe we can get some discounts just to get people playing, kind of view it as a season long thing too.
Right.
Kind of try to get them to play in all of them instead of just one.
Right.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Well, that's what we were talking about with these little dink tournaments we play up here. It's like there's six or eight of them. And at the beginning of the year, you know, there's probably a pretty consistent group of 25 really talented golfers that play in every one. It's like, okay, everybody at the beginning of the year, let's throw $100 in a hat. And then at the end of the year, we'll divvy that out between the top 10. That way, you know, you're encouraged to come out and play every other week. And at the end, you know, we could do a green jacket or, you know, some kind of goofy crystal trophy.
Yeah, I think that's a great idea. Just something like that to keep people engaged on like a summer long thing. I think it could be really fun. Like you said, it is kind of the same people at a lot of the events. You know, the four of us try and get out and play like a four-man scramble at a place we've never played every summer. So we'll go and play first.
We have a ton of destroy the field and they're like, who the hell are these guys?
No, I mean, no, I think we've won maybe half of them that we play in, but like, there's some good players out there, man, that you'll never heard of, but they'll come in and they'll shoot under par and like, I don't know. So
no 46s though from all the farmers, right?
Yeah, yeah.
Seen these stupid videos where the guys come in with a 52 and then there's a 46.
Yeah, I've seen that. We want to walk. So there's not gonna be any cheating or anything like that. So
no.
Do you plan on playing in all of them or what? How are you and your friends?
No, so. That out? Yeah, we're not going to play in them. We're going to be putting on the event. You know, we want to be announcing names in the first tee. We want to be there for rules questions. We want to do like a live leaderboard on your phone. So that kind of adds an aspect of, you know, where you stand the whole time. So
sure.
Like on Golf Genius or something.
What was that?
Like on Golf Genius or something.
Yeah. Yeah. Something like that. But yeah, we want to make it so it's like, I don't know, just a legitimate tournament experience, you know, and I think it'd be cool. You know, you're coming down the last couple holes and you know, hey, I got to birdie these two if I want to be in the money, or I'm right near the lead. But because a lot of these events, you don't know where you stand.
Mm-mm.
And I think that would add a whole level of just fun to the competitive experience.
It's cool. It's a good idea. I'm excited for you. And it's like last year I wanted to do a good mismatch play at Brooks, you know, and do it over 2 days. And turns out renting a golf course is really expensive for 2 days in a vacation town. But I've just been introduced to match play the last couple of years, and it's so fun and it's just different. You get tired of playing these 4-man best shots every week. They just, you know, they turn into drunk fest, which are, they're fun. They're usually for a good cause. But the competitive golfer wants to get those juices flowing and opens up that different aspect of it. Brooks has a really good one coming up in a couple weeks, and it's their annual spring fling, and it's 27 holes, best ball, low ball, alternate. And that's one of my favorite tournaments of the year, because it's like the alternate shot is the hardest, where the real golfers, if you get out and shoot 4, 5, 6 under on the alternate shot, you got a chance to win it all, because that's the difference maker.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
What are their thoughts of doing that for like a day of 27 holes, doing it that way?
Yeah, I've never thought about that. That's a great idea. But we thought about doing alternate shot. We thought for this first year, only having 5 events, like that might push people away just because it is so hard, I think. But maybe in the future. But
that could be a tour championship.
Yeah, we thought about doing a tour championship, and that still might happen, of like the top 8 teams.
Mm-hmm. You know, cool.
Where they could just match play, and we'll have a match play bracket of the top 8 teams on the money list or something. That's definitely been an idea. But yeah, we'll see. I don't know.
That's cool.
We're still kind of putting everything together. We just got registration open, so now we can start kind of working on some other ideas. But
that's hard. It's a lot of work.
It is. Yeah, it is. But it's been fun.
Do you have some teams signed up already?
Yeah, we have probably 3 or 4 teams. 3 of them have signed up for the new Sharon event, some locals there. And then we have 1 team for the Perry event. But yeah, so we have a couple teams signed up. We just opened it a few days ago. So now we're trying to
Do you know Derek from Four, Iowa?
No, but I listened to his podcast with you guys yesterday. So I need to reach out
to him.
Yeah, I sent him an email a while ago because I knew about his like Facebook page.
Mm-hmm.
And it sounds like he's interested in doing this pretty much the same thing that we're doing. It was just trying to build a community and, you know, spread the word about all the tournaments going on and like try and grow a community, you know, all over the state, all these different places. And so
I think I saw something on Golf Digest a while back that said Iowa was ranked the 13th best state for golf and golfers. And considering we only get to play 6 months out of the year, if we had a full year, I think we'd be real good.
Yeah, absolutely. I think that adds like a level of excitement though in the spring. I don't know how you guys are feeling this time of year, but every year, March or April, I was so excited to play golf.
For sure.
Play all
big time.
Yeah. So
I'm tired of hitting off mats all winter, you know?
Yeah, absolutely. The net gets old after a while.
It sure does.
So I think
I get developed back problem.
You know, Iowa golf is so special. And, you know, moving away is just not the same in other places. And I just want to help give back and just kind of help grow the game, because I think there's more people playing than ever before. And there's so many courses out there that people just don't know about. And mm-hmm. I'm like, let's support these, you know, smaller 9-hole tracks, keep them open. And, you know, we don't want them to die out. So, cause it's such a big part of Iowa golf history, you know?
Right.
So,
big time. Well, and those, like you said, it's like getting 200 people out on a weekend to watch or participate, that course is going to love you as an organizer, you know, and you're not expecting anything out of it. You're here to grow the community and just boost the reputation of these little courses.
Yeah. I mean, I grew up in a small town of 1,000 people, and this game has taken me all over the country and all over the world. So, I mean, who knows? There could be so many kids like me out there who just never have the opportunity to play. And that's why, you know, we're going to try and sell whole sponsors, event sponsors. So sponsors are going to go back to the local high school boys and golf, girls golf teams. Like we want to help them buy like golf balls, some polos. There you go. Yeah. We'd love to come up to Northwest Iowa next season or something.
Yeah. Let's figure something out.
Yeah. There's plenty of courses around here that would love to do something like that. I would feel like, you know, it just only benefits them to have that. So.
Yeah, we'd love to go all over the place. But yeah, I just remember when we were in high school, like golf balls are expensive, man. Like they're $50 for a dozen balls, and there's so many kids who probably just literally can't afford to go out for golf. Maybe they don't have
balls. It's tough. It's tough.
So we just want to help support that, because a special game that you can play your entire life, and you know, maybe they'll fall in love with the game, and maybe who knows where golf can take it, you know? It's such a big industry, and I don't know. It's benefited my life, so I just want to try and give back to places like that. So
we have like new freshmen who come in to our team, and you know, god awful. I always tell them that. I'm like, you're god awful, but I say that with love, and I'm glad you're out your freshman year. I'm glad you're out now, because they're not that I'm encouraging to like quit football or quit basketball or quit any of those other really fun sports. But it's like golf, you can play for the rest of your life. And what are all these professional athletes addicted to when they retire?
Yeah.
They're like, man, I wish I would have taken this up 15, 20 years ago. And this, I always love it. My favorite part of the coaching is watching these bad golfers get better and leave practice with a smile. It's like, that just makes my day.
Yeah. That's how you get hooked. I got hooked my freshman year of high school. I didn't really play competitive, but my dad was the high school golf coach, so I went out, and I had always played. I grew up right across the railroad from our local 9-hole track. But
what was that dynamic like with your dad being the coach?
It was good. He was always my coach growing up in all the sports, basketball, football. So it wasn't anything new. But
none of the button heads, or did you have some of that?
No, not really. I mean, especially with golf, he was more interested in helping the kids who didn't really know much about the game, and he kind of let me go mostly. Yep. So, but yeah, I mean, I got hooked in ninth grade, just keeping score, and you get better really fast. I was a pretty good athlete. So like you can break your record score almost every day, it seemed like, and it mm-hmm. just became, it just became addicting, and I just wanted to get better every single day, and like it just snowballed. But I was four.
You went to Missouri.
What's up?
You played at Missouri.
Yeah, I played at Indian Hills JUCO down in Ottumwa for 2 years, and then
Who was your coach at Indian Hills?
So I played for Mike Hagan for 1 year.
Oh, yeah. Yep.
I think he's in the Hall of Fame, Golf Coach Hall of Fame. We won a national championship that freshman year.
They won every year.
Yeah, it's a great program, man. If you get in the starting lineup there, you're basically going to go Division I.
Mm-hmm.
So that's kind of why I went there, because coming out of high school, I didn't get noticed by any of those teams because I was playing baseball all summer. So I didn't play in the big junior events.
Sure.
So I just saw, I had the opportunity to walk on at Indian Hills, and I'm like, well, I'm going to take that in hopes of playing Division I, and it worked out. So.
And you made, because Hagan played at Iowa Lakes, Charlie.
Really?
Yeah. Yeah. He played for Dan Soper, my old coach. And now I think he's down in like Arkansas.
Yeah. Arkansas State. Yeah.
Is Indian Hill still top tier Division I JUCO?
I think so. Yeah.
Yeah. Them and Odessa.
Odessa's was always our main rival. I think they've won maybe a couple nationals since I've been there. So yeah.
But now, so you didn't start playing competitive till you were a freshman in high school, and 4 years later you're playing, junior college. 2 years later you're playing Division I SEC, arguably the best conference in college golf.
Yeah, basically.
Like? I mean, I can't imagine playing against the Alabamas or the Vanderbilts or SEC, right?
Yeah, it was SEC. So. But yeah, I remember looking at my coach. We're at the SEC tournament my junior year, so my first year at Mizzou, and we get up on the first tee. We made some match play at the SEC tournament, and we're paired with LSU and Alabama.
Oh, and I look at Sam Burns is on the tee with you.
Yeah, and I didn't play with Sam Burns, but yeah, I mean, all those guys were there. Those guys you see on the tour that age, like Morikawa, Scheffler, like they're all my age. So like I would see tournaments. And yeah, I just remember looking at him being like, this is insane. Like 3 years ago, I was just at Jewel practicing by myself. Like,
what am I doing here?
Yeah. So that was a cool experience. I'm super blessed to all the places that this game has taken me. So,
well, now it's wild that Texas and OU are going to be in the SEC. It's like, if Texas Tech went to the SEC and Oklahoma State, man, that would be, it's like what's left in the Big 12? Nothing.
I mean, it's just, it's absurd. All the schools moving around. I can't even keep it all straight, but there's going to be 20 teams now in the SEC.
Well, golf is different though in college though, because the only time you're ever playing each other is conference events.
Right.
I mean, if you happen to sign up for like the Cowboy Classic in Montana and like, or Wyoming, and there's just, luck of the draw who signs up for stuff like that.
Yeah. Conferences don't really matter as much in college. It's just the conference tournament is when everyone gets together. So,
yep. Well, and then Brock Snyder is down at Mizzou.
Yeah, I knew that. He went to Gilbert.
Yep. Yep. We played them at State a couple years ago at Marshalltown. Does that sound right? Elmwood?
Mm-hmm. Elmwood, yep.
That's a fun little course.
Yeah, that's actually a really good course. I played a pro-am there, I think, 1 or 2 years ago, and they redid it. And it's just more of an open layout, but super cool. They redid all the bunkers and all the greens and stuff. I don't know if they did that before you guys played.
No, they did that. That was done before then, because they have like the mini Oakmont bunkers, the church pew holes. Yep. And they have that, I don't know if it's 9 or 18. I think it's 9 with that par 4, where if you hit it on the first 6 feet of the green, you're rolling back to 50 yards in the fairway.
Yeah. Yeah.
That was a fun course.
Yeah.
And you told me, you were texting me yesterday that you're a caddy.
Yeah. So I work at a club down here in Scottsdale called Scottsdale National. So,
very good.
Basically just caddying this time of year, trying to make my money and then take off for the summer. So it's nice. I get the summers off so I can go and kind of compete, and I got time to do stuff like the Minnow Tour and stuff like that. So, and it's also nice. I mean, I, obviously in Iowa you can't practice in the wintertime outdoors. So
this year down, we could have.
This year, yeah, I heard the weather was great up there.
Yeah, I'm all for global warming. It makes for a longer golf season.
That's right.
It's cold today, man. I'll tell you that though.
So do they, does Scottsdale National, do they allow you to use the facility since you caddy there, or do you have to go to some like public track?
So we get to play there about once a week on Monday or Tuesday if we work that day. So like if I work in the morning, I can play out. So I don't get to play out there much, but it's a sick place, man. Whenever I get the chance to play, I try and take advantage of it. So they got 36 holes, two different courses and a par three course, and it's just unreal. So, but I'm pretty busy this year or this time of year, just caddying and stuff. So, but nice. I do play at a different club here. It's a private club, but kind of just a factory. It's crazy how many golfers are down here in Arizona, man. It's getting ridiculous. It's so expensive and so crowded.
Well, it's funny. I just thought of this. It's like, okay, the Phoenix area, Phoenix Scottsdale area is like Nashville is to musicians and actors is to Southern California. Like, where do you go if you want to, you know, make it? You go to Arizona.
Right. Yeah. There's so many guys like me down here. I mean, they have money games that fill up with like over 100 people on a random Tuesday of just pros.
Yeah.
You'll have Max Holmes come and play the Papago Monday skins game. Like,
I've heard about that.
Yeah. So it's a cool community, but it's just so saturated. And it just makes me even, you know, thinking about back home in Iowa, like, you don't see anyone playing these 9-hole courses during the week.
No.
So let's spread it around a little bit. It's also it just makes me even more excited to get up to just play. Well,
how deep in the golf field is in regards to the best of the best to big fish in a little pond? It's like, sure, you know, you go around and you win these little minnow tournaments in Northwest Iowa, then you go play the Iowa IGA events and you suck. And then the guys that are winning those events go to play, you know, USGA events, aren't doing well. And then there's PGA Tour, and then there's the mini tour. It's like the talent is so good at that elite level. I mean, look at Scotty Scheffler, what he's done.
Yeah.
It's just stupid how good that guy is.
Yeah, it's ridiculous. I think the common golf fan doesn't really understand how many good players there are. And just to make it, Tour is like an insane accomplishment for anybody. Right. And so I think Scotty talked about it at his Masters press conference, like the most nervous he ever was at like Q school.
Sure.
Won major championships. He's the number one player in the world, by far the best player in the world right now. And Q school is like, I've never felt that type of pressure.
And well, yeah, I mean, you're trying to get there. And I think that's, you have something to lose.
Yeah.
And I guess once you get to his level, now he'll never take PGA Tour for granted. Cause I think a certain amount of those guys get comfortable and complacent.
Yeah.
Look at some of the best tour players in the world right now aren't playing. They've been on tour for 10, 15 years and they're not doing it anymore.
Yeah.
Ricky Fowler, for example.
It's a fine line, man. It's a fine line. And this game can humble you real quick. We all know about that. So it's a hard game. And when you're trying to make a living playing a game that you don't really have control over much of what's going on,
yeah,
it can be really frustrating if you don't have the right perspective on things. So it's really easy to downward mentally.
Funny. So are you married or anything? Got any kids?
Yeah, I'm married. Been married for about 2.5 years now. No kids yet. But yeah, she's also from, we went to high school together, so she's from Iowa as well, and she kind of followed me down here to Arizona, and yeah, we get
supporting the dream.
Yeah, she's been awesome. There's a lot of other people that probably wouldn't marry a mini tour golfer, so
it'd be tough.
Super, super lucky.
You ever
play too?
Tour events?
She doesn't really play much. She'll play a little bit in the summer. But yeah, she's not a huge golf nut like me, so that's probably a good thing.
I just bought my wife clubs last week. She never played, and she joined League at Emerald Hills this year.
Nice. She did. I didn't know that.
Nice. Yeah, so I got 6 weeks to show her how to hit a ball.
Hey, some people are naturals. Some people just pick it up right away.
Yeah, we fortunately her league partner is really good, so it's best ball. And I said, just go out there for the social aspect. You'll have fun.
Who's she playing with?
Jasmine Peters.
Okay.
And she can hit it. She plays for the men's tees normally. But no, that's cool. What you're doing, man, this Minnow Tour, I hope to pick an event out that we can come down. I probably won't get to play all of them. It's tough, but I would definitely find a partner and want to come down. Are any of those that you would recommend of the six or five you have on there?
Oh, man.
I've never played any of the courses. I looked at the list.
Yeah, I've played Storage City, which is our last event, and Radcliffe lots of times. That's kind of the area I grew up.
Sure.
So those are both really good tracks. Radcliffe is a really fun, easy course. So if you want to make a lot of birdies, I would probably suggest playing Radcliffe.
Is that just going out and blasting, driving driver everywhere?
Yeah.
Chip in the butt?
Pretty much. I mean, they have this random par three that's like 235 yards. It's one of the, but other than that, every other hole is pretty easy. I mean, there's a couple par fours you can get up close to the green, and a couple par fives that are like, if you had a good drive, you're going to have like a 7 or 6 iron in.
Nice.
Stuff like that. Not much trouble.
Where's Radcliffe?
So Radcliffe is a little bit, it's probably 30 minutes northeast of Ames. So do you know where Iowa Falls is? So it's kind of in between Iowa Falls and Ames.
Yeah, clearly, I mean, if you see the background behind me, I'm a
Ames, I would say fan. I saw that.
Yeah, you didn't catch that.
We all
you are
20 minutes north of there.
Yeah. Well, cool, man. I'm looking forward to it. Like I said, if you link up with Derek from 4 Iowa, he'll definitely share your stuff, because his goal is to just boost Iowa golf. And like I said, figuring out any format other than a best ball, it's like there was no directory out there for it.
Right.
It's like, oh, I'm going to be in Des Moines next weekend. Wonder what's going on down there for golf tournaments. Just plug in all the info. Boom, boom, boom. There you go.
Yeah, I've been on his website. It looks awesome.
Yeah.
Look, so many tournaments, just even in April and May that I didn't even know about.
Right.
There's so much going on. So awesome.
And then Sue Link's golfer guide. That's another one that his name is Derek too. He also, we traded him some space in his magazine for some airtime, but Sioux Links Golfer Guide, same idea. It's an advertising book for courses in the area, tournaments, you know, what's going on. I'd look into that one too, because he'll pump your stuff also.
Absolutely. Will do. I appreciate that.
Well, I think it's cool, man. I think the golf community, it might seem big, but at the end of the day, it's like everybody is seeming to be one phone call away. Mm-hmm. And everybody's so cool to talk about a sport, the best sport on earth. And, you know, that's all my goal is with our goal is with this podcast, just boost golf.
Yeah. Yeah. And it's such a special community back in Iowa, and everyone's so nice, like you said. And it seems like there's a lot of people who just want to, you know, grow the community and give back and just have a good time too. I know I said we want to make these competitive and legitimate, but like, we also just want to have a good time and just.
For sure.
Meet other people and, you know, from all over the state.
Get rid of some of those snuffy stigmas that golf has had historically.
What was that? Sorry.
Oh, getting rid of the stuffiness of the, you know, stereotypes that golf has had for 60 years.
Yeah. Yeah. And it's such a cool culture in Iowa. You know, there's really none of that stuffiness. You know, you just kind of come far, like, it's pretty laid back. And I feel like that's what it should be. And that's, you know, be inclusive of everybody. And, you know, I feel like that's what Iowa golf is. And, you know, there's already a huge community, and you guys have a big community with this podcast and, you know a bunch of people, and, you know, it'd be cool just to bring it together for a few events every year from all over the place. People will make new friends and just have a good time. So.
For sure, man. For sure. Well, hey, we'll let you go. Thanks for hopping on so early down there. It's, is it beautiful weather, I'm assuming?
Yeah, it's perfect this time of year down here. I'm not going to lie to you.
Yeah.
Well, thanks, man. We really appreciate you jumping on with us.
Yeah, it was good to meet you guys. I really appreciate it. So hopefully we'll see you this summer, and good luck with everything.
We'll share your stuff. We'll share your stuff left and right when you got events coming up, and it's cool. Hopefully, we get down there and play in one of your events.
Awesome. Thank you, guys.
I appreciate it. Good luck this year, man.
Thank you, guys. Thank you, guys. Take care.
See you, buddy.
Thank you.
See ya.
Dude, I look awful. Look at these bags.
Oh, I do too. I do too. Yeah, I look like hell.
Oh, what a nice guy, man. Isn't that crazy how some people can just take up golf in 4 years and then just be really, really fucking good at it? Charlie had somebody at the door. Ricky must be making noise. Stand by.
Yeah, I had a little dog bark there. So what did you say, buddy?
Just how there's guys like Trevor who can just be starting 4 years and just be a phenom.
Oh, I know. I mean, to go to play Division I golf that quickly after, you know, not playing that long. Mm-hmm. You know, a lot of the Division I golfers you're seeing, they started like 6 years old and they're playing, and you know, it's amazing how quickly he was. But you know, he's a, you know, like he said, he was a good athlete. His dad was a coach. I mean, he's probably mm-hmm. picked it up pretty quick.
Well, see, and it's like I remember seeing his name for, I'm a nerd, you know, that following just any golf in Iowa. I remember seeing his name on the roster at Indian Hills 6, 7, 8 years ago.
What is he like, 28?
No. Yeah, probably.
Because he said he's like Scotty's age.
Because he was a junior in 2017 at Missouri. So, yes.
Yeah, something in that range. Sure. Okay.
But
well, that was pretty
sweet. Cool idea.
Yeah, great idea. Like you said, I mean, if he gets on that, they'll get that on Derek's deal for Iowa, and you know, that's gonna boost that. We'll boost it, and also, you know, just word of mouth is going to boost. And just word of mouth will get that thing rolling, because we're all looking for extra stuff to play in. I mean, we just
absolutely
are.
Absolutely. Speaking of extra stuff to play in, I got an event I got to do this summer.
What's that?
I got to do some mini golfing.
Oh, yeah, you do. You lost. You're an idiot. What a dumbass. You're terrible picking golf. You're terrible. You're terrible. You're a dumbass. And it couldn't happen to a better person to lose. So,
well, you picked Scotty, and then,
well, yeah,
I think
I got the number.
Mother Nature showed her teeth this year and was like, nope. If I had Victor Hovland was like in the lead, in the hunt the first 2 days, and then Friday,
well, and I didn't. The rest of my guys didn't really do that well. It was just because I had Scotty. What did I have? Brooks and Scotty. Matsuyama and somebody else. I can't remember who I had, but it was just because I had Scotty. Because, like, Brooks didn't do with the shit. Matsuyama shot 8 over on the first day, you know. So it was,
DFL. Yeah. EFL.
Yeah, you suck. It's funny.
Hey, my dark horse, Ricky Fowler, made the cut.
I can't wait till you have to carry your whole bag around playing mini golf.
Should
this
I bring
is
a push
fucking
cart?
Comical.
Should I bring a push cart?
Absolutely, you should bring a push cart.
All right. Yeah, we got to figure out, because now the park is busy all the time.
Yeah, it's busy. Weekend. We'll have to figure out a time during the week or something to do it. I'd rather you do it during the weekend with all the people, but
I don't know. Do it on the weekend too. As humiliating as it'll be, I think it'll be better.
Better content. Yeah, for sure. Yeah, so
we need to get
the bottom line is you suck. It's hilarious. Way to go.
Gonna happen to a worse person, right?
Yeah.
Better person.
Grow up. Yeah, cool.
And told you what I shot the other day for the first 18 holes of the year.
Yep. That's okay. You'll be fine.
Golly. It was so, you know, my dad's in Spain right now, and I called him afterwards. And you know what the issue was on my front nine? You know what I did?
Mm-mm.
Had a big, tall glass of American.
Oh yeah, you got the liquor swings. I get it. Yeah. Yeah.
6 holes in, it was like, here we go, boys. We're done.
Yep. Well, that's the way that goes.
But I called my dad after the round, and I was like, you'll never guess what I shot today. He goes, good or bad? I said, bad. He goes, what? Said, yes. He goes, 84.
Worse.
He goes, no shit. Worse. I I said, yeah, 88. And that was with one hole where Cole gave me a 6-footer because he was tired of seeing me suffer. And so it might have been worse, but I called my dad and I was like, I didn't throw any clubs. I didn't slam any clubs. I didn't even fucking swear.
Yeah.
And part of it was we had a high schooler with us, but Cole Johnson was like, I don't know if I like Nick with a temper that's really good or Nick without a temper that's really bad. Just can't find a happy medium.
No, you'll be fine though.
I'm not worried about it. I'm going to go out and putt today, figure it out. Got that new lab.
I'm not. It's too cold.
Yeah. That's why you're a 10 and I'm a 3.
Yep, exactly.
Just kidding. And then where can we get that American Premium Vodka?
We can get it at the Tobacco Shop.
Tobacco Shop.
Over in Arnold's Park with Charles and Jamie there. They got everything. If you go there and mention us, you get 10% off of anything you buy besides cigars, because there's rules against that. And go say hi to them. They got everything you need: CBD, tobacco, wine, liquor, beer, sodas, whatever you're doing. Stop in there, say hi, tell them we sent you.
Yes, sir. Tell them the boys from a good miss sent you. Our sign is up behind the counter now. I went in there yesterday, pick up a bottle of American vodka, and got a happy camper.
Nice.
So Joe can't hop on. Joe was going to hop on and talk about it. He's on a golf trip with the boys going down to Omaha to play some fancy courses. Joe plays golf. He got second in the deal. You won, obviously, and I sucked. So stay tuned for this summer. We're going to play some mini golf. I'm going to play some mini golf. Pirates Cove at Arnold Park.
Yeah, we're gonna sell tickets to that. It's going to be hilarious. So, but good stuff, buddy.
All right, we'll catch you later, man.
Yeah.
Good miss.
Good miss.